One of our favorite guests is back.
Yes.
And with us in the studio, last time we spoke to him, he was on the phone. I am honored to introduce to you Stephen Tobolowsky. Did I say that right?
I'm going to leave you hanging on that one.
No, I've always heard Tobolowsky.
This I got to tell you, to be honest with you, this has always been an issue with me because no one in my family pronounces our name the same. they do Tobolowsky, Tobolowsky, Tobolowsky. So I went to ask my uncle Nathan, who is the family historian. This was a few years ago. I said, Uncle Nathan, how do we pronounce our name? Tobolowsky, Tobolowsky, what is it? He says, well, Stephen, you could pronounce it any way you want because it's not really your name.
What?
Whoa!
How does that happen?
Well, so I was horrified. And I said, yeah, what is this? He said, well, when grandfather came to America, he came in through Galveston, not Ellis Island.
Yeah.
He came in through Galveston from the old country, and he didn't speak the good English. And the guard there, or the intendant, said, who are you? And my grandfather, who didn't speak English but spoke a little German, who is wo, which is where. So grandfather thought he was asking, where are you from? So he said, Abram from Tobolowsk, in his own Yiddish sort of way. And so the guard said, okay, you're Abram Tobolowsky. So I got my last name the same way Don Corleone got his name.
Vito Andolini.
The Godfather. Yeah. So that is, so you could pronounce it any way you please.
Well, that's good to know. The pressure's totally off.
All the pressure's gone.
It's gone.
What you need to know about Stephen is this. He is one of the most premier character actors of all time, and I would start to read your credits, but then you'd miss your lunch.
I'd miss lunch.
Really? If you like a movie or a television show, Stephen's been in it several times, appearing at the Standard Club luncheon today, and that's at 11:45, but we don't have full confirmation that the general public is allowed in, right?
I don't know. I'm not really sure on this because I didn't set it up, but I know they had a website, and I think it's
$40, you get the book, you get lunch, autographed signing.
Yeah, you get the whole thing.
You should have charged more.
But I don't get a penny of this. I don't get anything from this, but I get a trip to Chicago, which is worth it for me.
What's wrong with that? Let me publicize the book just a little bit. My Adventures with God by Stephen Tobolowsky. You said something right before we went on the air that I'm still a little baffled by. We were talking about some of the people you've worked with in the past. And what did you share with Wendy and myself about the great Ben Kingsley?
Ben Kingsley, funniest man in the world. And when we were doing Sneakers, we'd be in the makeup trailer, and Ben would be telling, Sir Ben, I guess, would be telling stories about his life doing theater in the provinces in England when he was growing up. Hilarious stories.
Really?
And when we had finished shooting the movie, I remember Ben went on The Tonight Show, and he started one of his stories, and I guess I forget who the host was at that particular time. I don't think it was Jay Leno. It may have been. But at any rate, the host decided to help Ben out. And, you know, like they did, like they figured he was Ben Kingsley, like he is in the movie, the scary stick in the mud. And they said, and Ben held up his hand and goes, stop, please. I am your guest, and I would like to tell my story. And then Ben proceeded to tell another hilarious story from his life. Greatest storyteller.
Yeah.
He is just remarkable.
But
remarkable.
I would not have guessed funny. I
hilarious.
Just wouldn't have guessed it.
Hilarious and witty and delightful and naughty and all those
really?
Good things. All those good things. He is the best storyteller I ever heard.
Who else have you worked with over the years, Stephen, that has surprised you and that you thought they'd be one thing and they were completely different?
Drum roll. Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
I worked with him on Bird on a Wire, and I played a bad guy, and he was the good guy. And it was right when my wife, Anne, was in her 11th month of pregnancy.
Yeah.
I think she was about to give birth to some sort of aquatic animal.
11 months, yeah.
So we were right at the cusp, and I was shooting up in Vancouver and very nervous about it. And I was doing a chase scene where I was chasing Mel through the streets of Vancouver. And he says, I can't do his accent. I won't. He goes, Stephen, you do. And And Mel started talking to me about fatherhood.
Yeah.
And it was the most beautiful story. He said, "Stephen, you know, there's nothing more beautiful than a baby coming into the world. I've had five children, and we always do it. We have the midwife. We have the baby born at home. When the baby's born, we play the piano, and I take the baby and I dance with him or her around the room so that they know they're coming into a world of love and music and dance and joy."
Wow.
That's very sweet.
And I'm going like, and then, of course, later he went, I guess, a little crazy.
Yeah, there's that.
But Mel Gibson was just absolutely, and he gave me advice because we had to do fights. Mm-hmm. See, I wasn't supposed to have a fight with Mel Gibson. Bill Duke was supposed to have a fight with Mel Gibson. He was a real bad guy in the movie. But whoever fought with Mel Gibson had to be eaten alive by piranhas.
Oh.
And Bill Duke refused to be eaten alive by piranhas. So I got promoted. I was like a computer bad guy in the movie, but they gave me the fight with Mel Gibson.
Nice.
It's like me fighting with you guys. You know, it's like you go fight with me. So anyway, because I was willing to be eaten by piranhas, which was a big boost in my career. And so Mel Gibson looked at me and says, "Stephen," he just gave me the eye roll. He says, "I assume you don't do many of these fights."
Oh.
"I do them all the time. The one thing you have to remember is when we punch each other, you cannot say pow." and I'm going like, he says, "No, I'm serious, because men always say pow when they do fights. You know, when they do punching, go pow, pow, pow." He says, "Don't make those noises with your mouth." And as soon as we started fighting, Mel made pow noises.
Have you seen the footage of Laura Dern in the last Star Wars movie? Whenever she shoots her blaster, she goes pew, pew, pew. And you can see her mouthing it every time she shoots it.
It's the same thing, you know. But she had the purple hair, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yes.
You know, that could have gone to her brain and affected her, too.
She had a very busy year.
Oh, yeah.
With Twin Peaks and, you know, Star Wars.
Yeah.
And she did something else, too. And you, I can't believe, like, every movie you see, every television show you see, you are there. My boys love you from the Goldbergs.
Ah, yes. Yes, the Goldbergs. Oh, man.
That's fun to do, isn't it?
It is fun to do. And it is, it's the new world. Doing the Goldbergs is kind of the new world. And it's kind of the thing where the medium is the massage. Or the, you know,
yes.
That was the misprint on the book that Marshall McLuhan loved, because he originally wrote the medium is the message, but the publisher got it wrong. He goes, keep it. And that is now, since they don't use film, they use a chip in cameras. It's a high def camera, and the chip lasts 50 minutes, 50, which means you have these endless takes to do. So when we shoot the Goldbergs, it's like when we shoot like a silent film in the pack. You know, you do one take for 50 minutes, and the director just yells out, "Now try it this way. Now try it this way. Now add this line to it. Now do this." And then the writers get up and add this. And so you keep massaging the scene, and you keep doing the scene with people yelling at you, and then they just cut out all, you know, after 50 minutes you get it right. It's crazy.
I feel like Beverly Goldberg. My kids call me Smother. They're teenagers, so they appreciate me, yet I bug them. You
know, when I started the book tour, which seems to have been going on forever, I was going through Minnesota, mm-hmm. and my plane was grounded because there were three rain-wrapped tornadoes in the area.
Yikes.
And so I went to Delta and I said, "What do you do?" And she goes, "Well, sir, what you do is you sleep at the airport." I go, "Is there a place where I go to sleep?" She goes, "Well, there's a nice spot there on the floor, and there's a nice couch over there. Maybe you can lay in the massage chair." But so there were several hundred people sleeping on the floor and with your luggage. So you're hugging your luggage and you think, what do I want to hug? And then it came about 2:30 in the morning and I had to go to the men's room. So you have to take your luggage with you.
Yeah.
So I'm going through the airport among all these bodies on the floor, and someone looked up and goes, "Oh, look, it's Principal Ball.
Oh.
He's here, too."
Oh, nice. Stephen Tobolowsky is here. He's in Chicago for a couple of reasons. He's at the Standard Club luncheon today at 11:45. You might not be allowed in, but if you feel like taking a chance, go do that. His book is called My Adventures with God. We'll pick this up next in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Our guest is Stephen Tobolowsky. Please, Stephen, tell me you don't mind the title. You know, character actor to some would be an insult, but I never mean it as an insult. I think that's the best thing in the world. You work forever.
Oh, it's a great thing. It's one of the few advantages of being bald in your 20s. is that you stay the same a long period of time. You know, people see me and they go, you look just like you did in Groundhog's Day. That's because I'm still bald and have glasses.
I'm looking at your IMDb page. So you've worked steadily since 1983. There has not been a gap at all since 1983. But take me back a few years prior. In 1977, you made a movie called Keep My Grave Open. What was that?
That was the movie I got my SAG card on in Texas. It was produced by Martin Giroux, who used to be the head of the William Morris Agency in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to Dallas. And everybody thought, well, this is a big deal. So I played Robert the Stable Boy. And in this film, I'm murdered by a woman who dresses up like a man who seduces... The woman seduces me and wants me to take a shower first.
Oh, you know, sure, of course.
You know, like, I guess because I'm Robert the Stable Boy. I never put that together. I probably had the stench of horse about me. So she says, why don't you clean up and then meet me in the bedroom? And then she dresses up like a man and murders me
with
a samurai sword in the shower. And we did two versions. We did the GP version and the R version, depending on how much of me was visible in the shower. But I tell you, you know, we love doing that show.
Sure,
and,
I bet.
And I think it's a cult film in England.
Oh, is it?
Where they're desperate for entertainment.
Speaking of cult, can we talk about your relationship with David Byrne? I'm a huge fan.
That was a bit weird. There's a story in My Adventures with God about this particular episode. And when I was in college, I was 19 years old at a movement workshop. And our movement teacher was saying, like, let's just go around the circle and breathe and hold hands and just say the first thing that comes to your mind. And so this was back in the 70s, and everyone's going like Frodo and Gandalf and all the beer, weed, all this kind of stuff. And then it comes to me, and I hear this noise in my head, and I say to the teacher, I get that you're not who you say you are. And he goes, huh? I said, that you have an assumed name, and your real initials are MK or ML. He goes, all right, let's continue on. And then he go on. Everyone's going, Frodo, Frodo, Hobbit, Hobbit, Hobbit. And they go around. I'm leaving the workshop, and he says, why did you say that about me? And I said, I don't know. You said the first thing, and I heard the sound in my head, and I just... He says, because it's true.
Oh, wow.
That I have an assumed name and my initials are MK. Has anyone done any psychic experiments with you? I go, no. This is Dallas, Texas. We don't believe in those things. So anyway, I ended up going to his house with my girlfriend at the time, Beth. And so the three of us were there. He says, can we do some psychic experiments over the Japanese prayer stool? And an instrument of powerful psychic power. You know, I go, sure. So we held hands, and I was adverse to holding hands with my teachers, but he was a nice guy.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm holding his hands, and he says, do you see anything? I go, no, but I heard something in my head. And I said, well, there's a 5-year-old by the fireplace and a 40-year-old woman on that telephone in the kitchen. And he lets go of his hands, and he's walking around the room. He goes, oh, what is it? He says, I was babysitting my 5-year-old nephew. He was by the fireplace. I told him it wasn't safe. He ran out the front door and was hit by a car. And my sister, on her 40th birthday, called on that telephone in the kitchen and committed suicide.
Oh, no.
So I'm like... freaking out.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm taking Beth home, and she says, what do you know about me? And I go, nothing. I don't see anything. And she goes, no. You don't see things. You hear things. Do I make a sound? And I said, yes, you do. And she says, what sound do I make? And for some reason, I opened my mouth and said, you have 3 tones in the male range, but they're in harmony. She says, what does that mean? I said, well, it means... either you're sufficient unto yourself, you always get your way. She clapped her hands and said, we are gonna make a fortune. I will bring people to you. You hold their hands, you breathe, you do whatever you do. We'll charge them 25 cents, maybe even $1, for you to read these tones. And so anyway, that was the beginning of my relationship with Beth. And so we collected money, and I did it with all these people. And then it became overwhelming for me because I always would hear these tones, and they were horrible things. And I didn't want to so I said, baby, we're closed for business.
Yeah.
Beth and I were together for 16 years.
Oh.
And during that period of time, she decided she didn't want to be an actress anymore. She wanted to write another stable profession. And the first play she wrote, she won the Pulitzer Prize.
Wow.
Play went to Broadway. And so everyone wanted to work with her, including Jonathan Demme, who was a young upstart movie director at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was working with David Byrne. And through Jonathan, we met David. Jonathan had just done Stop Making Sense, and he invited Beth and I to see the movie. And so David and I ended up in a Chinese restaurant talking about the movie. And he said, do you and Beth have a swimming pool? Which we did at the time, since Beth was famous now. And David was doing the video Road to Nowhere, and he said, could we shoot the underwater scenes in your pool? So if you go on YouTube and look at the video of Road to Nowhere, those water scenes were shot in my swimming pool.
Woo!
So at the barbecue,
you have a character swimming pool.
I'm cooking dinner for David, and Beth says, well, what are you working on now? And he says, well, I want to write this movie. I always thought about writing this movie called True Stories. Stories that people have these incredible things that happen in their life that are preposterous but true. And Beth says, well, you should talk to my sweetie because he can hear tones. And David looked at me, you hear tones? And I told him the story I just told you. And so Beth and I ended up being hired to write the screenplay for True Stories, which we did. And at the end, David took the script and say it worked to us for a year, a calendar year. I'm driving in the Hollywood Hills, and I hear this knocking on my window. It's David Byrne on a bicycle. And he says, I'm so sorry I didn't get back to you. I rewrote the script a lot, but there's something I need you to hear. And I go, sure. So David comes over to my house. He said, I ended up putting in the script a character who hears tones, and I wrote a song for them, and I want you to hear the song. And it was the first time I heard the song, the Talking Heads song, Radiohead. So it was remarkable because it was the beginning of my relationship with Beth, preserved like an insect in amber by David's music. And 3 years later, the English group On a Friday had a band meeting. They loved the movie. They loved David Byrne, and they loved the song. So they changed their name to Radiohead. So the band Radiohead came from the story I told David Byrne from the song of what happened to me when I was 19 years old sitting around the fire in Texas.
Wow.
Go see True Stories, people. It is one of the best movies out there. And stories like this could be in My Adventures with God.
I feel like I just watched a TED Talk.
And please watch The Primary Instinct as well. This is something that touched me so deeply when you did this. It's a video of you talking about life.
Yeah, it was we shot it. It was a concert film of me doing my stories in Seattle. We had 1,000 people there, which was great. But the interesting thing about doing a concert film, at least with us on a small budget, you got one shot at it. And not only does that mean the story has to be good, and I have to be good, but the audience has to be good. Mm. And they were. They were beautiful. It's a wonderful show, and it's about why we tell stories in the first place.
The Primary Instinct. It's amazing.
So nice to meet you in person, finally. We've chatted with you on the phone, but even better in person. Keep up the great work, Stephen.
Thank you.
So impressed always to hear your stories. My Adventures with God is the name of Stephen's book. It's available wherever books are sold. And you can go see him today at the Standard Club at 11:45, correct?
11:45 is a meet and greet, and I think alcohol is served. Mm. And then we have lunch, and then afterwards I'm going to tell a story from the book and do a Q&A.
Awesome.
Beautiful. Great to
see you.
Such
fans.
We'll take a quick break. We've got news next and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.